If you look at Matthew 13, look at verse 24, all right? Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man.
The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
The Bible does not command us to come together in 2016. The Bible commands us to come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. Be ye separate.
Many of the people on the list for Together 2016 are also on the list for another event in September called The Gathering 2016. Nick Hall, who will be speaking at both events and is the organizer of Together 2016, said the following.
Wave. I think God is already doing the wave. I just think it's happening in different corners and we've been divided. We got this movement here and this denomination here and that group here, and they're all great things, but we don't even know about each other because we don't have the same name on our sign. And so on July 16th, we're going to see all of these waves collide. Catholics and Lutherans and evangelicals and charismatics literally rallying across the nation saying, you know what? We may not say the same things, but we're on the same team. We're lifting up Jesus and we're going to saturate this nation. Man, that could change the world.
As Nick so clearly said at the end, it was not to bring them to them all, but to send them out into places from whence they came and to accomplish mission that God has for every individual. You know, just to be shoulder to shoulder with some of the finest voices of our time for the gospel, for the faith that we so strongly believe and love in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. To see people from so many walks of life coming here and so many different age brackets, but then to have some of the finest exponents, you know, for me to even start naming them would be unfair.
Al gran encuentro de todos los jóvenes en Washington para encontrar a quien puede darte una respuesta a esta inquietud. Yo te invito a que te pongas esta malla para que te revistas un día con esto y puedas responder a esa gran inquietud. Y estás seguro, te lo aseguro, no vas a estar frustrado. No vas a estar frustrada.
If you want to look at verse 38, it says, the field is the world and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. So basically, the good seed are believers. Matthew 13:38, the Bible very clearly says, the field is the world. You see that? The field is the world. So you got the good man, Jesus Christ, sowing good seed, the children of the kingdom, in his field, the world. Look at verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy, you see that? His enemy. According to verse 39, if you look down at verse 39, the Bible says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. You see that? So Jesus is telling us what all these different things are. The enemy is the devil. Look at verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Do you see that? Tares. Now the tares, according to verse 38, are the children of the wicked one. Let's read verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Look at verse 30. And we're going to skip a little bit of it, and we're going to go back to it here in a minute, but I just want you to see what all these different things are. Verse 30, he says, let both grow together until the harvest. You see that? Until the harvest. According to verse 39, the harvest is the end of the world. Verse 39 says, the enemy has sold them as the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. If you go back to verse 30, it says, let them both grow together into the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, all right, the reapers, according to verse 39, the reapers are the angels. Look at verse 39 again. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So I want you to understand that's the parable, that's what all these different things mean. So you've got the good man, or the man that sowed good seed, is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. The good seed are the children of the field, the children of the kingdom. The field is the world. The enemy is the devil. The enemy sowed tares, which are the children of the wicked one. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, the Bible says his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, oftentimes you might read this and think, oh, tares are just weeds. And they are weeds, but it's more than just weeds. This is a certain type of weed. Let me read for you a little bit about this tare. Tares are an injurious weed resembling wheat when young. While growing, they look just like wheat. You can't tell them apart. So if you got wheat growing and you got tares growing, you cannot. They look exactly the same. Wheat is golden, but tares show their true color only as they ripen. When tares are full grown, the ears are long and the grains are almost black. Each grain must be removed before grinding wheat, or the grain is bitter and poisonous. So the idea here is that there will be counterfeiting. And what Jesus is trying to teach us here is that the enemy sowed these tares and it looks just like wheat. And it's not till the harvest comes in that you can tell the difference. And what he's trying to teach us is that there is going to be counterfeit Christianity in the world. We need to beware of the tares. We need to beware of the counterfeits. And you know, that's one of the reasons. Now, look at verse 26. Just to prove what I read to you is true. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then, notice this, appeared the tares also. So they couldn't tell which one was wheat. They thought it was all wheat. But when it sprung up, when the fruit came, when it was time to bring in the harvest, then appeared the tares also. So they were able to see the tares as they matured. And you guys say this, we need to beware of the counterfeit Christianity. And today, we need to beware of the ecumenical movement. Now, maybe you're not familiar with the word the ecumenical movement, but today there is a movement to unite all so-called Christians. I get stuff in the mail all the time. Go have this prayer breakfast with all these pastors. Go do this golf thing with all these pastors. Can you bring your church to this thing where all the churches are going to get together and we're going to feed the homeless, or we're going to go listen to Joyce Myers, or we're going to go do this, or we're going to go do that? And let me tell you something. When you start actually going soul winning and talking to some of these people and talking about the doctrine, you're going to find out that half of these churches that say that they're Christian are not saved. They all believe they can lose their salvation. They all believe you got to quit drinking to get saved. They all believe you got to repent of your sins. And this is what Jesus is warning us about. He says, look, there are tares out there. They look like wheat. You might confuse them for wheat. But he said, at harvest time, it'll be clear that they're never wheat. And we need to be careful. Look, I have no need to go have a prayer breakfast with a Catholic priest. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not a Pentecostal. Pentecostals believe you can lose your salvation. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. Because if you can lose your salvation, then it's based on you, isn't it? Well, as long as I don't put in whatever sin you'd like to put in. I don't agree. You say, why are you those people? I'm not their enemy. I love them. I want to pray for them. But Jesus is teaching us that there are people. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Let me prove it to you even further. Matthew chapter 7. You got to understand this. And maturity comes for a Christian when they grasp this idea. And young Christians battle with this. And I understand it. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Young Christians, they don't understand this. But when you begin to mature, you begin to realize most so-called Christians are not saved. Jesus himself taught it. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 22. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many. You see the word many? That means a lot. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy... Do you see the word thy there? Who are they talking to? It's Jesus Christ. Are the letters not in red? He said, many will say to me... Okay, Jesus, this is Jesus talking. He said, many will say to me in that day... The day he's referring to is the day of judgment. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy... So Jesus said this, many people are going to come to me one day and say, well, we prophesied, we preached in your name, Jesus. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. There are going to be televangelists. They're going to say, but Jesus, I cast out devils in your name. I did wonderful works in your name. I prophesy in your name. But notice what Jesus says, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew thee. Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And notice, it's not that I used to know you, and then you lost your salvation. He said, I never knew you. He said, you were never saved. You were always a tare. You were always a child of the devil. You were never actually a Christian. And you just need to understand, most so-called Christianity, no, I'm not going down the street to the Bible study down the street with the ecumenical movement. I'm not going to the conference with the other, you know, I don't mind fellowshipping with other independent Baptists who preach the same word that we preach, who preach the same gospel that we preach. But Paul said, if they preach another gospel, let them be accursed. And that's where we stand. We're not in, and by the way, the ecumenical movement of today and the uniting of all these churches of today is just going to lead to the one world religion of the Antichrist.
Right.
You want to know who's interested in uniting the religions of today? It's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on purpose established local indigenous churches. Jesus Christ on purpose mandated that Paul and those different men were starting local independent churches. Because guess what? If at Berry Baptist Church someone was able to walk in and bring in false doctrine and we became an apostate church, guess what? The gospel could continue through many other churches that are preaching the gospel. But if we all unite together in one religion, and then that, you know, united religion of the world becomes apostate, then the whole thing's lost. There's one person who's interested in bringing a one world religion, and it's the Antichrist. Because he will head the one world religion. So no, I'm not for it. You say, are you against these people? I'm not against them at all. Do you hate these people? I don't hate them at all. I love them. I want to pray for them. If they're not saved, I want to give them saved. And there's people in these churches that are saved. But you need to understand this. Jesus is teaching us, beware of the tares. Beware of the counterfeits. Beware of the fakes.
Yes, it really is unprecedented to see people so willing to put aside doctrine and act like it doesn't matter. Yes, it is unprecedented to see a generation of so-called Christian preachers that will compromise everything in the Bible, everything that they claim to believe, everything that we hold dear. It's unprecedented, the apostasy. It's unprecedented, the compromise. It's unprecedented, the false doctrine that we see known as ecumenicalism, where it says, hey, we need to put aside our differences. We need to all come together. I'm constantly hearing from people who say, you know, Islam is the enemy. We must all put aside our differences and unite with all Christians against Islam. Or, hey, the Jews, we need to all unite against the Jews. You know, we need to all unite against the Sodomites. Or we need to all unite against atheism. No, my friend, we need to stay by the stuff. We need to not compromise our doctrine and not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I've got news for you this morning. I'm going to be showing you a lot of scripture and proving every point from the Bible. I've got news for you. Everyone who says that they're a Christian is not really a Christian. That's just point number one that you need to take down. Look, everyone who says that they're a Christian is not necessarily a Christian. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day. Not a few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. And that is in the context of Matthew chapter 7, where he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Many will say that they've done lots of works in his name. Many will say that they've preached in his name. But it's not works that get you into heaven. It's not prophesying in his name and doing wonderful works. No, no, no. It's faith in Jesus. And anyone who is trusting in their own works will be turned away at the door. Anyone who is trusting in their preaching and the works that they've done and the deeds that they perform will be turned away, because you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It's not by works. 2016 is the day when this generation lays down what divides us and lifts up Jesus who unites us. Okay, well, let me go ahead and lay down what divides us. There, I just did. I just laid down what divides us. That's what they want me to lay down, my King James Bible. Because this is what divides religions. This is what divides real Christians from Catholics. This is what divides Christians from Buddhists, Christians from Hindus. This is what divides those who believe in salvation by faith alone from those who are trusting a works-based salvation. This is the book that divides those who abhor idols from those who prostrate themselves and bow down and burn incense to idols. This is the thing that divides, because the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, go ahead and turn there. You can catch up with me as I begin. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straight until it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to send peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now, that's a pretty clear verse. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. He said, I came to bring division. It says in verse 52, from henceforth, there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus is being pretty clear here that he didn't come to say, let's all get along, let's all unite, let's all sing kumbaya. No, he brought division. The word of God is a divider. It divides people. Truth always divides between those who receive the truth and those who resist the truth. Listen to all these scriptures about Jesus bringing division. You go ahead and flip over to Matthew chapter 3. But in John 7:43, the Bible says, so there was a division among the people because of him, about Jesus. Now, you say, why is there so much division amongst the people of God, quote unquote? Why is there so much division amongst Christians? Well, it's because of him. There was a division among the people because of him. John 9:16, therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. John 10:19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. These sayings caused division. Jesus himself caused division. God's word is a divider. The Bible does not teach for us to have unity with those who reject the word of God and reject the true salvation of the Bible.
Matthew 13, verse 27, the Bible says, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. He said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Now here's what's interesting. A lot of people take this verse out of context because a lot of people say this. They'll say, you know, in the church, you know, what I did tonight with our little business meeting. Don't you like our business meetings? We don't talk about money. We don't talk about aim. Nobody takes notes. But, you know, we would say, like, that's totally unscriptural. And actually, people would say, it's totally unscriptural for a church to deal with false doctrine in that way. And they'll point at this parable. Jesus said, just let them grow up together. Okay, well, here's the problem. The parable of tares is not talking about the church. The field is the world, right? That's not the church. In the world, there will always be false religion. In the world, there will always be false doctrine. Romans 16:17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, we saw it, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Why? And avoid them. And by the way, that's why Berry Baptist Church, we don't mind calling out names from time to time. Because how you mark someone, the purpose of marking someone is to identify. And by the way, Paul and all these guys in the Bible, if you're reading the New Testament, they're constantly calling out names. They're saying, so-and-so sinned against me, so-and-so, you know, stabbed me in the back, so-and-so. You need to understand this. We call out people by name if they're bringing in doctrine, and we call out big names too, like Joyce Myers, like Billy Graham. Because these people that have these huge ministries that are trying to influence your thinking, we need to try to guard you against their false doctrine as well. But look, it's not my job to go to the Baptist church down the street that preaches repent of their sins and try to get their pastor fired. You understand that? If they're not messing with us, hey, let them grow up with the tares. Let Jesus deal with it at the harvest.
2 Thessalonians 3:6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. This is not saying to only separate from people who don't claim the name of Christ. Even a brother who walks disorderly, he didn't say, I suggest you withdraw yourselves. He said, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you withdraw yourself from every brother that does not walk after the tradition that he received from us, the apostles. And then later in the same scripture, he says that if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Think about that. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. But then they say, oh, but go to the mall with him, the National Mall, and stand in front of a big six foot, you know, what is it, 555 feet above the ground and 111 feet under the ground, the big 666 obelisk in D.C., surrounded by idols, surrounded by wickedness, and join together and unite with them? That's not what the Bible says, my friend. We are living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. We as God's people need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We as God's people need to understand that there is a great falling away, and it's here. It's happening right now. Jesus Christ made it very clear that before his second coming, there would be a great falling away. And that is what we are seeing right now. It's unprecedented. Of course it's unprecedented, because it's reserved for the end times. And we need to stay separate, my friend. Separation, division. These are good words, but they're turned into bad words by people who don't understand the teachings of the Bible. Okay, who else is going to be at this event? How about Hillsong? It ought to be called Hellsong. Yeah. Hillsong is both a church and a music band or a music movement. And I believe they're going to be there performing music. I'm not sure if they're going to be speaking or not. But you know what? We actually learn things more through music sometimes than we even learn through the spoken word. I mean, every single advertising jingle from the 80s, I could sing it to you right now. Because that stuff gets stuck in your head, right? Well, Hellsong is going to be at this pro-Catholic, pro-universalist, pro-ecumenical gathering. This is the same church that says on their website, we believe that in order to receive forgiveness and the new birth, we must repent of our sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to his will for our lives. So they're adding works. You got to submit to his will. You got to turn away from your sins. Believing's not enough. And I guess God's will for their life was recently at Hillsong's New York gathering. The youth pastor of Hillsong stripped off all his clothes and came on the platform with a guitar covering himself because he was trying to impersonate a New York celebrity called the Naked Cowboy. So he went out on stage in his underwear, okay? But he covers it with a guitar so that it gives the perception that he's fully naked. He went on as the Naked Cowboy. And at Hill, I mean, if you just look at this Hillsong thing, it's like it looks like the most demonic, satanic. They're like waving, like you look at their Hillsong service, they're like waving American flags. There's a guy covering himself with nothing but a guitar. There's all these other freaks dancing around and acting like animals. I mean, honestly, I think even Aaron would have blushed. You know, I think even the children of Israel in Exodus 32 that were worshiping the golden calf would have said like, whoa, buddy, this is over the top. And yet I see Christians defending this garbage all the time. There's division on social media. Yeah, because when you're liking Hillsong, you're getting deleted from the friend list. How can I be friends with somebody who's into Hillsong? It's of hell. It's of the devil. It's a works-based salvation, and they just hold these bizarre rock concerts all over America, weirder than a rock concert. When I was a teenager, you know, I shouldn't have, but I went to a bunch of rock concerts as a teenager. Hillsong was worse than any rock concert I've ever been to. I never saw anything like that at a rock concert. And there's bad stuff. But the point is, though, that this is what we're talking about here with ecumenicalism. This is what Billy Graham's all about. This is what Luis Palau's all about. These people are Christians, Pastor Anderson. Just because they don't cross the T and dot the I, they're still Christians. That's what some people would say. And I already mentioned this earlier in the message, but here's more proof. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You see, the ecumenical crowd will love to quote scriptures about unity and about how there's one Spirit. One Spirit. But here's the thing. There's only one Spirit that's of God, is what the Bible's saying there. When the Bible says there's only one Spirit, it's not saying that there's only one period. It's saying there's only one that's of God. Because there are also unclean spirits, and there are lots of them. I mean, look, are you going to deny the existence of unclean spirits? Remember Jesus casting out the unclean spirits? What does the Bible say here? If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. So there's the Jesus of the Bible, then there's another Jesus, and Mormonism has another Jesus. Roman Catholicism has another Jesus. Or if you receive another spirit. Now, is it possible that in the process of going to a church that's preaching another Jesus, you might receive another spirit? He says it's possible. He said, in fact, I'm afraid that it could happen. He's saying, I know that when people go and hear preaching of another Jesus, they are receiving another spirit. Look, if it's not the Spirit of God, because there's only one Spirit of God, friend. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit. Okay, I get that, but you know what? You can receive an unclean spirit at an event like this. Together 2016, you can receive an unclean spirit.
If they're not messing with us, hey, let them grow up with the tares. Let Jesus deal with it at the harvest. That's what he's teaching us. He's saying the most important thing is the harvest. What I'm most interested in, he said, I want you to know about the enemy. And I want you to understand his strategy. But I also want you to understand your priority. And he says, your priority is the harvest. It's to take care of the harvest. It's to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. He says, I want you to be interested in the harvest. Go to Matthew 9. Look at verse 36. We're done right here. Matthew 9, 36. Someone said it this way. Let Jesus' last commandment be our first priority. His last commandment was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would set forth laborers into his harvest. That's our priority. I'll be honest with you, I'm not interested in calling out every false preacher and all these things. If they're going to mess with us, we're going to mess with them. They want to fight with us, they'll have a fight on their hands. But that's not our priority. Our priority is the harvest. It's getting people saved. So here's what we learn from this parable. We learn about the enemy. He's real. He'll wait till you're distracted. He'll wait till you're asleep. That's when he's going to attack. We learn about his strategy. He's trying to get as many people in the kingdom of hell as much as we're trying to get them in the kingdom of heaven. The sad thing is that usually we're taking breaks and we're asleep while he's working away. And our priority should be the harvest. We'll protect the church when we need to protect the church. But our priority is and always will be the harvest of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Every single person in here has a job to do. And if you believe that Jesus Christ came the first time, you believe he's coming the second time, you have to get out there and do the work that Jesus Christ said to do. The Bible says that we are waiting for the signs of the times. Next thing, the Bible says the man of sin, the great falling away. But until we see those things, you know, we are to go out there and we're to preach the gospel. And that's what we're going to be doing this weekend is, and I just want to end it with this. This soul winning marathon that we're going to be doing and all this work that we're going to be putting in this Saturday, it's just a continuation of what Steadfast Baptist Church has been doing this whole 2 years. You got to think about this. We started the church that week right before. We went out knocking doors as soon as we came into town. That first day, we got our water hooked up. We got our stuff hooked up. The next day, Guinevere and I were out knocking doors. The day after that, Jonathan Starnes, Ken Smith, and I can't remember, some one other person was out knocking doors with me that Saturday. The next day was Sunday. We had church. That week, we went out soul winning. And every single week since the inception of this church, we have had people out there knocking doors and winning souls to Christ. And the reason why we're so motivated as a church, even when we were smaller and there's only four or five people showing up to soul winning, why we're going out there preaching so hard, is because we believe that we have been given the authority by the Word of God and we have a job to do. It's our job to go out there. God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what this church is about. That's what it's always going to be about. It's because we believe the Bible, and the Bible says that He's coming. And if He's coming one day, the Bible says, blessed is that man, for when his Lord shall come, shall find him so doing. I want Steadfast Baptist Church to be a so find him so doing church. And that's what it's going to be. From right now, this is not the beginning of a soul winning church. This is just a continuation of a soul winning church. And God has blessed this church. Look, tonight we have 67 people. We started the church on a Sunday morning with dozens of people flying in from Oklahoma, flying in from out of town, traveling in, just to be a part in it and just kind of encourage the church and be a part of it.
He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.